Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 22 through chapter 2, verse number 3. This will probably be part 2 of the last time that I preached on this. There's just some things in here that I've missed that you just, as a pastor, you just can't miss them. You just have to go back and get this and make sure your people understand this. This is critical. This is critical. Amen. First Peter chapter 1. Let's start at verse 22. And we probably could go all the way back to verse 1. But we're going to pick it up at verse 22. And again, in our pew Bibles, it talks about Peter's appeal to holy living. Verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 1. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfaked love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Being born again. Let me say that again. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth away, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen. Father God, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Father God, for your precious blood of a lamb without blemish. Thank you for saving us, Father God. Thank you for going to Calvary on our behalf, Father God, and dying for our sins. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to be born again. But Father God, by us saying that we are born again, there's a way that we ought to live, Father God. There's a way we ought to worship. There's a way we ought to glorify you in how we live on this earth, Father God. And Father God, I just thank you, Father God, for an instruction manual that spells it and points it all out to us, Father God. Thank you for the word of God.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Peter never lost his, I like to say, rambunctiousness. That's a word. Peter never lost it. He never lost his fire. We pick Peter up at the day of Pentecost, and Peter had just confronted the crowd. Just confronted them. Just challenged them. Let them know what they did, how they killed Jesus who came to die for their sins. And the word of God says in Acts 2 that they were pricked to the heart. And they cried out, what must we do to be saved?
Amen.
Here we see Peter in chapter 2, 1 and 2 of 1 Peter. He's confronting these believers. And these were blood-bought believers who understood the gospel, who were called strangers because they were walking with the Lord and they were cast out. They were considered strangers. I always talk to the young people, and I talk to folks that really say they love the Lord, know the Lord, and you become a stranger to this world. You become indifferent. Folks ain't gonna want to hang out with you if you're not doing what they do.
Amen.
You become ostracized. There's a thing there. People don't want to hang out with you. They're not gonna sit down with you at lunch. They're not gonna run with you. Here's Peter. confronting these believers. And I think this is important, that the best of us as believers, we still need to be warned. We still need to be confronted. We still need to be challenged, because we also can fall into
Amen.
Sin.
Amen.
And I always say the Word of God is a warning book. It's a warning book. And a lot of folks have taken it to make it a psychology book, a feel-good self-help book. But it's a warning book.
Amen.
And throughout the Scriptures, you'll find the Word of God being used to warn folks. Paul used it to warn folks. But I look at the sermon today, I look at the lesson, the title of it, an apostolic debriefing. An apostolic debriefing. And those are military terms or police terms. We were being debriefed at the prison. I wasn't here last week to preach. And Claire said, I didn't give you a prison story. But every time we have an incident, whether it's a shanking, a stabbing, someone getting hurt, a gang fight, or near riot. And even in the war, in the real world we live in, you think about Newtown. You think about the Twin Towers. You think about Columbine. There's always an investigation. Whether the FBI comes in, the CIA, these organizations come in, and they investigate everything that happened that day. Okay, then they debrief the leadership. The those that are in charge, and that debriefing, they tell them the things that they've done wrong. What could have prevented this? Okay? Well, at our prison, what happens is the Ohio State Patrol come in and investigate everything. And then they'll have a debriefing. And they'll let us know where we dropped the ball. And usually that department that dropped the ball don't want to be a part of that debriefing. Okay? We call it getting chewed out. But because of that, I don't know if any of us, and with the amount of children we have in here, if any of us ever try to go to a high school and get in, you just can't walk in anymore. Okay, that's because of a situation probably at Chardon. We had it right up here in Chardon. We had Columbine. When they debrief, they come up with all these security measures. Okay, you go to the airport, the football player went to the airport and wanted to act silly. And saying, I have a bomb. Guess where he ended up? In jail. Okay? If you're a youngster in here and you getting on the school bus and you say, I got a gun or I'm going to kill you, guess what? You're going to be kicked out of that school. They're not playing. They're not playing because of these debriefings. And now we see Peter. He's done an inspection of his troops, of his people. And he's seen problems. And this is among the most devout Christians of that day. They still had issues. So church, listen, I say this, and I don't care how God blesses us and how God works in our church, we're still going to have issues. We're still going to have things that we have to be warned about, because sin will always be a part of the church. It'll always be present. Paul, with the Corinthian church. And when Paul planted the Corinthian church, it the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:7, it lacked no spiritual gift. Every gift of us present at the Corinthian church, or the church of Corinth, and guess what? It was one of the most corrupt churches there was. Folks got puffed up and prideful. And that those two sort of go together. God was blessing the church, and the folks got haughty. And Paul had to come back and confront them. He had to come back after he was told of what was going on. He gave them a debriefing. You can find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul chides the Corinthian church. Look what he says. And Paul and Peter, you won't find these guys fighting too much over scripture, over doctrine. Here's Paul writing to the Corinthian church in chapter 4. He said, I write these things to shame you. But as my beloved sons, I warn you, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Now that's important. He had begotten them how? Through the gospel. What was the Corinthian church doing? They got away from the gospel. They was doing all kinds of stuff. They was speaking in tongues. They was dancing. They was partying. The church had became a game to them. They were letting folks come in that was in all types of godless relationships, and they weren't saying nothing. Matter of fact, the word of God, they had become what? Puffed up. Prideful. This is what he says. After he says, I have begotten you through the gospel, he says this, wherefore, there you see that word, wherefore, he says, there needs to be a change. Based on what I've seen and taught you, there needs to be a change. He said, wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. What did Paul mean? Paul meant you need to live godly lives. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul wasn't able to get to the Corinthian church. Listen to what he said. He said, you can't follow me. I'm going to send someone who's going to live and behave in a godly way among you. Well, you need some folks like that. You need some folks like that in the church. Some folks in the church, you can look at it and say, that's how godliness looks. That's how godliness behaves. That's how godliness handles adversity. That's how godliness handles problems and issues that may come up in your life. This is what he said. He couldn't get there. What's this? For this cause, I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son. Watch this. And faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ. Mm-hmm. So I'll get that. Paul couldn't be there. He said, y'all need godliness to walk among you. So he sent Timothy. Oh, no wonder Timothy. No wonder Timothy had ulcers and everything else. No wonder Paul said, drink a little wine for your stomach, Timothy. Because I'm getting ready to send you among some godless wannabe Christians. And they're going to mock you and ridicule you. And it happens in the church. It happens in the church. Try to put a suit on one of your young people. Or a dress. They'll sometimes give you the blues. Wear a tie. We were brought up in church, you had to wear a tie. And now, the young folks don't want to wear nothing. They want to come to school, church just as they are. Listen, after these debriefings, after an issue has been investigated, they inform you of what needs to be done. Okay? They let you know where you broke down, your security broke down. Here's Paul, here's Peter in chapter 2, and I'm going to start at chapter 2. Because he got a wherefore there. He's already laid the foundation. And this is just free doctrinal preaching. In the first chapter of Peter told him exactly what Paul did in Ephesians. Where you come from, where you've been, what God has done, how you were saved, why you were saved, what it took to save you, how you were saved through corruptible things, but incorruptible things. He gave them the whole agenda of how they were saved and what it meant to be saved. Now, in verse chapter 2, he's going to say, here's how we have to do it. First of all, you got to rid yourself of some things. There got to be a laying aside of some things, a casting off. I think about Mark chapter 10. We talk about blind Bartimaeus, and he's on the side of the road, and he heard Jesus coming. And they wore a heavy overcoat in those days, and that coat would withstand all the elements, all the weather, all the dust, all the heat. But it would be covered with sin. Picture of sin. It would be covered with dirt. And in Mark 10:50, he said, when Jesus called him, he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. See, there's a casting away that's necessary when we come to Jesus. And we need to cast away some things. And Peter is going to identify some of these things. And these things permeate through the church. And we're not looking around today, but there's some folks in the church today that are dealing with some things. Amen. They have to work through some things. Amen. They have to, that need to hear the word of God to be confronted. The word of God says it's a two-edged sword. Amen. And before the man of God can preach it, the man of God has to deal with it too. Peter confronts the church. And he said, wherefore? Because you know what God has done for you. Look what he says. Lay aside. He starts off, lay aside all malice. He said, lay aside all malice. And when you talk about malice, that's a chronic, persistent, continual anger that's harbored, that has taken port in your heart. He said, you got to deal with this. You got to deal with your heart. We talk about it in Sunday school today. The Word of God has to permeate in your heart. Mm-hmm. And for the Word of God to come in, there's all those things got to come out.
Amen.
When the Word of God comes in, things start happening.
Yeah.
So he said, you got to deal with it, church. He said to the church, he said, you got to deal with this chronic, persistent, continual anger that's harbored, that's docked in your heart. Malice. And then he moves on. He says the second thing. He says, gal, deceitfulness. Deceitfulness in words and actions. You ever had your children? You know they want something. So they start acting nice. They start acting nice and they start saying nice things to you. You know, and they start saying, because they want something. They want to go somewhere. So they say they may start early in the week. And they let you know. You see them, they take out the trash. They're changing the water bottle. They're cleaning up. Their room is all clean. There's something wrong here. That's gal. That's deceit in words and action. They're being cunning and devious. Because they're only doing it because they want to go somewhere and they want something. And once that's over with, once they get it and use it, they back. The church can't have that. And then Peter moves on and said, not only malice and guile, but hypocrisies. Hypocritical behavior. Two-facedness. Saying one thing on Sunday and another thing on Monday. Double standards. Singing in the choir and then singing. Hypocrisies. Putting on a show.
Uh-huh.
Wearing the mask. Wearing the mask. Oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus, you mean everything to me. Jesus, you're the head of my life. The author and the finisher of my faith. Envy. He said, deal with the malice. Deal with the hypocrisy. Deal with the guile. Then he said, deal with the envy. Any envy? Hey, the Sunday school lesson touched on envy. I text the Sunday school teacher. I'll be straight up and text him and say, step on that a little bit. Step on envy a little bit in Sunday school. Step on it because our young folks seem to be jealous. One person doing something, another person's not. That's dangerous.
Amen.
Resentment. You need to hold grudges. You can't have church folks holding grudges. Get over it. Let it go. Paul said, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed mad and wake up mad. You might not wake up, somebody said. I don't think you're going to heaven and dying mad. Bitterness. Envy leads to all that. Peter is addressing this. He's trying to help these folks. He's helping me. And then he talks to this last one. And this is just in chapter 2, verse 1. Then he says, in all evil speaking. All evil speaking. I hear some stuff. I listen to my children. I listen to Michael and Michaela. They like to go back and forth.
Amen.
And Michael will say, McKay, you look like the devil. And she just have a fit. She just crying and crying and crying. And then I heard McKay say, Michael, you need to go back to children's services. And I'm sitting here like, and this is the only way home to church. This is on the way home to church. See, this stuff starts young. See, the Sunday school lesson, and y'all know I just believe in Sunday school. I can do this Sunday morning and preach the word. You need to be in Sunday school. So see, the word of God, they're teaching your children constantly. Day in and day out. Every situation you have opportunities to teach. We can't let SpongeBob and Family Guy teach our children. We have to do a better job, parents. Uh-huh. Sitting down with them and talking to them. Mm-hmm. That comes out of their mouth. These are 8-year-old and 11-year-old going at it. And they'll grow up in the church.
Amen.
They'll grow up in the church and Michael may be a pastor one day and Michaela, first lady or the pastor's wife and never dealt with that. It happens. It happens. So Peter's, he reminds them, these four things, these five things are important. Malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakers. And let me tell you something, it's here. It's present. This word is up to date. This word is up to date. These sins are destructive. They're destructive, and they will destroy the unity of the church. How many know that? How many know that? Some of you have been to different churches. God bless Rita and Ann, who's been in one church just about all their life, but some of us have been to different churches and have seen the destructive power of words, of malice, and of hypocrisies and envies. All that. Peter said, deal with it. If we're going to move on, we need to deal with it. How does he say to deal with it? He says in verse 2, as newborn babes. As newborn babes, we ought to deal with these. This is how we ought to deal with all that we've come out of. As newborn babes. Born again. You know, we think about being born again. Something happens. This is why when people tell you they're born again, I challenge you, question them. You have a right to question them, because if they say they're going again, they say, I'm a part of your family. Look what Colossians says. And you know, this is one of my favorite verses in all scriptures. Colossians 3. Talks about what it means to be born again. If somebody asks you, I'm born again, that's, I mean, they're your family. Did y'all notice yesterday we were at Jake's house and how he introduced all of us to his family? To his family, he introduced all of us. This is my church family. This is my church family. I heard him say it over and over and over as he introduced us to his natural family. I thought it was a beautiful thing. This is my church family. And believe it or not, I believe the church family supersedes the earthly family. I could know why. Because you'll be with your church family all of eternity. And you'll be with your earthly family just a few years. 60, 70, 80 years you with your earthly family, but you know what? You're going to be with me for a long time. Be with me for a long time. I hope that ain't reason for any of y'all not to want to get saved. You didn't say you with me. Colossians chapter 3 says there's some good things that happen when you get saved.
Amen.
And it's not something that you do. It just comes with it.
Yeah.
I always say it's like when you go to a car dealership, you buy a car, that's top of the line, you don't have to ask them if it's got a CD player in it. Or if it's got an air conditioner or power windows. It just comes with it.
Uh-huh.
Everything. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you've been born again,
uh-huh,
seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Amen.
Watch this. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on this earth. Say, folks, set your affections on the things that are above. Things that are above. Spiritual things. Things that's going to count for all of eternity. And you get all the trophies. You get all the trophies, and they give you little, everybody get them now, it don't matter. You can be 0-55, and you get the trophy, and you get something to go around your neck saying you participated. Let me tell you something. Set your affections on things that count.
Amen.
Worry about this earthly stuff. We're getting ready to leave out of here. We're getting ready to depart. And you can't take a whole lot of stuff on that airplane anymore.
Amen.
Thanks to the Twin Towers and all that. You get a little light bag, and you better make a count.
Amen.
He says, set your affection on things above, not on earthly things. Watch this. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, this is to the born-again believer. You're not saying this is not going to even mean anything, and you're just going to play with the babies and text and write, but this don't mean nothing to you. Okay? You just sit here and goof off. But when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Amen.
Oh, come on now. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And somebody asked me, you don't believe in healings, you don't believe in all the spiritual gifts being in operation. Listen, they can all be in operation. But you still leave it here.
Amen.
And you better be ready.
Amen.
And you better be ready. Listen, how do you get ready? Pastor, help me get ready. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. What? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections. Pastor, that's a big word. Inordinate, much. A lot more than you would usually expect. That's a good restaurant word. They just gave me so much food at that restaurant. In order to mean your affections are so great. I'm talking about sinful affections. Inordinate affections. Then he goes on to another word. Evil concupiscence. And again, he's talking about the same thing, but it's an accelerated thing. You know, the one is on the outside, and that evil concupiscence is what's in you. What's in you is so evil that it just come out of you. I mean, your mind is just in the gutter all the time. All you can think of is doing wrong and evil and sin and sex and filth. And this is how the world does. This is how the world do. I mean, you sit there and watch it on TV and read about it, and you turn on the news, and they were saying at Sunday school this morning. You just turn on regular TV, and regular TV is messy.
Amen.
You go to the gym, and they got TVs all over the gym. All over the gym, and Sex and the City's on, and the Kardashians are on, and Ellen is on, and every abomination on the man is just being poured into our spirits constantly.
Yeah.
How do we live in a world full of sin? How do we even think to raise our children in a world? Some folks, I don't even want to bring children in the world. Jermaine, I sit here and watch you bring up two little babies, two little sweet little girls into this evil, corrupt world, knowing that they were born in sin. And then we wonder what's going on, because the world has taken God out of everything. Taken God out of the schools, out of the courts, and then wonder what's wrong with the schools. What a shame. What a shame. And Paul goes on. He's going on to say the same thing that Peter said in verse number 8. Now, verse number 7, he said, in which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. Father, forgive us. We lived in that. We lived in those sins. We lived in them. Before we got saved, we lived in them. I don't care how good you thought you was before you were saved. He was a hot mess.
Yeah.
Say that. Then Paul, like Peter, said the same thing. I'm speaking to somebody. Deal with it. Deal with your anger. Deal with your lust. Look what he says. Put off. Same word. Cast off. Get it far away from you as you can. I told the boys we're going fishing Monday. You take boys fishing and they're going to get the biggest weight. They're going to put the biggest weight they can on the pole and we're going to have a casting contest. And they're going to see how far they can cast it out. And sooner or later somebody ain't going to let go of the button and the hook and the bait and the worm and the weight going to just go flying 60 yards out into the lake. And that's a picture of what Paul is saying here. He's saying, put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Put it off.
Yes.
You have the power to do it.
Yes.
He's not asking you to do something you can't do.
Yes.
He said, because you are filled with the Spirit of God,
yes,
you have the power to do these things.
Yes.
It's an indictment to you. If we continue to walk in sin when we say we have the power of God working in us.
Yeah.
That's the truest form of blasphemy for a person to say, I'm a Christian and live like the devil.
Amen.
Well, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm born again, and live reckless and live like the devil. It is what it is. It is what it is. Let's keep going. First Peter, Paul, Peter said, as newborn babes. I thought about this as newborn babes. We got some newborn babes in here. Oh, we got some newborn babes in here. And they will let you know when they're hungry. And they don't want no junk. He said, as newborn babes. Newborn babes, that's what we are. When we get saved, we're newborn. I don't care if you get saved at 75. You are a newborn babe. And then if you are a newborn babe, and it's just, just throw me off. If you are a newborn babe, if you are born again, you ought to have desires for the milk of the word. You tell me about a newborn babe who's not interested in the things of God, not interested in Bible study, not interested in Sunday school, not interested in prayer, not interested in fellowships. There's a problem. Because if Jessica has that little baby, she got to take it to the doctor. And that doctor's going to check and see if that baby's growing like it's supposed to. And when Jermaine and Effa take that baby, they the doctor do this, and my eyes got to move. And if they do this and this, and that baby's just standing looking ahead, there's a problem. They're going to say, well, you got your baby's not on target. She may or he may have some issues. A lot of Christians got issues.
Amen.
A lot of Christians aren't growing. A lot of Christians aren't growing. And dare I use the R word. I have some folks that don't say, well, I should never use the R word. But it the word means that it stopped growing. You see the buses and some of our children that have birth defects and different things like that. They have stopped growing. We ought to be growing.
Yeah.
We ought to have those desires. They ought to be hot. You ought to be hot for the things of God. I had somebody come to Bible study on Wednesday night. They was just traveling. They got off work 45 minutes early. And they said, I got to get to Bible study. I just want to be around God's people. I thought that was wonderful. I said, man, listen, if that spirit ever takes hold in this church, that's the spirit that's necessary for the church to do great things. Paul says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. You know what your baby needs. Your baby needs milk. You call, you text, hey, look, I'm out of milk, honey. And this baby is acting crazy. Y'all act crazy when you're not hearing the word of God. And some of us do. Some of us have real problems when we don't hear the word of God. When we don't hear the word, go weeks and weeks without studying and praying and not hearing the word of God. We need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
And not only hear, but we need to have a desire for it. We ought not hear it enough. We ought not hear it enough.
Amen.
Listen to Peter. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Why, Peter? Why? That you may grow. Stop feeding them babies. Stop feeding them. Things won't happen to that child. And Children's Service calls it child endangerment. And they come to your house and see the babies ain't eating. House all filthy and the baby's not eating. They're going to put you in jail. Oh, some of our spirits are in jail. Malnutrition. And then we wonder why, when we get in a situation, we don't have any answers. We fall apart at the drop of a dime because we don't have any word in us. And you know what? We have an enemy. We have a real enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober, be vigilant. Why, Peter? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. You know who he's looking for? The malnutrition, weak Christian. He's not going to the front of the line to get the deer. He's not going to attack the deer that's heading the pack. He's looking at that one that's limping around. Got a bad leg, and spiritually malnutrition. He ain't looking for a long run if he can help it. He's going to get that sickly one that's not filled with the Word of God. I'm trying to help someone. I'm trying to help someone. Listen, it's important that we understand where we've been. I think it's important that we understand what God has delivered us from. I think this is Memorial Day, see? And I have a little part in here for Memorial Day. But think about where you've been. Think about where you've been. Isaiah says this, 51:1. He says, hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn. The rock is Jesus. Then he says this, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Isaiah, that great prophet, says, don't forget the hole that you were digged out of.
Amen.
Don't forget the hole that you were digged out of. I'm talking to saved folks.
Amen.
Some of us still in the hole. And we like it in the hole. And we don't really want to come out of the hole. We like being in the pigsty. And we like that all around us. We like all that cussing and fussing and fighting and arguing. And we like it. We're not even interested in coming out of the pit. Here's Ephesians. Here's Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. He says that at a time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Listen, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. I had Bobby come in my office today. Bobby had aspirations. He wants to go to the military. And that's a good thing. He wants to go to the military. And I say, Bobby, let me tell you something. You set your standards high, set your goals high, and folks are going to come against you. Because misery loves company. I tell Adam, you can be anything you want to be. This America. You can overcome a bad start. This is America. When you have God on your side, you can do all things. And we set our standards so low. Remember where you come from. Look at Romans. Romans 6:17. Talk about the master from whom he has been rescued from. Think about who your master was when you was unsaved. But God be thanked Why? That you were servants of sin. That's who we were. This is what we have to look back to. And if you're not growing, if you're not growing as a woman of God or as a man of God, guess what? You are just as near that sin as when you got saved. There's no such thing as a Christian who is not growing. Let me make sense. Let me say that again. There's no such thing as a Christian who is not growing. I'm just idle. No, you're not. You're going back. You're going back, and the weaker you get, the easier it is for you to come back. Now, we teach once saved, always saved. We teach you can't lose your salvation, but you better darn believe, better make sure you have it. You better make darn well that you have it. Everybody, once saved, always saved. It's not that simple. Everybody talking about heaven ain't gone. Think about this. Think about that far country. Think about that boy who was in that far country. And he stepped out of that pigsty. And he came home. Think about it. Are you still in the pigsty? Now get away from him. You ain't got to, just because you come to this church, you ain't got to sit with folks that ain't interested in hearing God's word. Amen. You ain't got to sit with them. You come up front. Yeah. You sit in the back and sit back with folks that just. Evil workers.
Amen.
That's why they're back there. Now we go to a Cavs game, or we go to see a Lakers game. You're not trying to sit in the cheap seats.
Amen.
You're not trying to sit all the way back in the bleachers. Amen. You're trying to get a front row seat. But you're trying to be something, but you want to sit with folks who are hellbound, who care less about the things of God.
Amen.
Wherever it lands.
Amen.
Wherever it lands. There ought to be some excitement. It ought to be some excitement. Here's some excitement. Let me give you an exciting scripture. This is as exciting as it gets. This is Lydia. Newborn babes. Jermaine put that baby down. She's going to run all over the place. She's so excited. We had to watch her yesterday. She ran all day. Rita put that baby down. I said, look at Rita. Bad leg and all, chasing after that baby. And that baby was running. Because there's the excitement about being alive. And if you're born again, there ought to be some excitement. Look at Lydia. Look at Lydia in Acts 16. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God. She worshiped God. She was a Jewish proselyte. She worshiped God of Judea, or Judaism God. But listen, that's what it says. But when she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of God. What did she hear? She heard the word. What did Paul preach? Paul preached the gospel. Paul said, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What did Lydia hear? Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 2:1. He never changed. And some of y'all think y'all are coming here and I'm going to change and the message is going to change and it's going to get exciting. It's just going to be the Word of God. And if the Word of God is not exciting to you, it won't get exciting.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 2:1, Paul says this. He says that I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God.
Amen.
Paul says this. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you how? In weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Listen, let me tell you something.
Amen.
Right now I'm standing in this pulpit. I'm in weakness and I'm in fear and I'm in trembling because I have a great responsibility to preach this gospel.
Amen.
I have a great responsibility to be faithful to the scriptures. And it's so easy to veer to the left and to veer to the right because I know everybody don't want to hear it.
Amen.
And I can say, well, I need to come up with some stuff that they want to hear. I need to tamper with it. The word of God ain't holding their attention. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. All that it comes. He said, Pastor, just be faithful. Not successful. Just be faithful. He said, in my speech, Paul said, in my speech, in my preaching, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man. What kind of faith is that? That's hell's faith. If your faith stands in the wisdom of man and your favorite pastor die, or your favorite pastor get caught up in a sex scandal, or your favorite pastor falls, you fall. But let me tell you something about Jesus. He never gonna fall. And he never gonna fail. And he never gonna get caught up in a sex scandal. And I don't care what the naysayers say. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. You know what? And then when that crisis comes, when all hell break out in your life, and you have to be shut down for a little while, and you're sick, and you go through. Oh, you don't need the wisdom of man then. You need the power of God in your life. You need the power of God in your life so you can overcome some stuff. Some of us fall away and die because we don't have no power. We get sick and we go, oh, I quit, I give. Tap out. Throw in the towel. Satan wins. Look at Paul. Let me finish Lydia. I know I'm getting all excited. Look at Lydia. Look at this enthusiasm. Look at Lydia like a newborn baby. She heard the word of God. Her heart was changed. God opened her heart and she attended unto the things of Paul. That means she received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And look what happened in verse 15. And when she was baptized in her whole household, she besought us. She came to Paul in his entourage saying, if you had judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Lydia wanted more. She wanted more. She was like a newborn babe. She couldn't get enough. She wanted more. She wanted more. She wanted more. She held Paul and Silas and Timothy almost hostage. She constrained them. She wouldn't let them leave until she got all she needed. Oh my goodness. There's more to that story. There's more to that story. Look at 1 Timothy. I'm gonna get ready to close here. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Here's Paul talking to the church. The church. And I've been on this thing. We don't have opinions. We don't have opinions. You guys can't just say about what I think of anything. God's word says. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. This is what he says to Timothy. Paul's on a missionary. He was a missionary. He traveled. So he comes to 1 Timothy 3 and 14. And he says, these things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto you shortly. Paul was out of town. But he's saying this to Timothy. But if I tarry long, that thou knowest how thou ought to behave itself in the house of God. There's a behavior that is expected of the people of God in God's house. And I'm not talking about children running. I'm not talking about children running. I'm not talking about that kind of behavior. Listen, Paul explains it. He says, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. There's only one truth. And that's the Word of God. And if the Word of God is not being preached on a regular basis, then that church is not God's church.
Amen.
Look at verse 16. This is the whole gospel. One verse. The whole gospel. They don't see this. The whole gospel in one verse. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preach unto the Gentiles, believe on in the world, and receive up into glory. Oh my goodness, that's got to be preached on a regular basis. You need to know that. The gospel of Jesus Christ is throughout the whole Bible. Listen, Pastor, how do I know I'm growing? Glad you asked. How do I know I'm growing? How do I know I'm growing? Listen, signs of a growing Christian. Mm-hmm. This is important. You need to know, are you growing or not?
Yeah.
Am I growing? I mean, me and Murray walked around church the other day. We had a hard winter. She looking at her little beloved rose bushes. And she just looking at them and snapping them. Ain't no life in them. I didn't want to bust her bubble. I said, Margaret, they don't look good. You know, they don't look good. They weren't tender at all. And she was like, huh? It was a rough winter. They're not showing any signs of life. Are you showing any signs of life? Watch this. 1 Peter 2:9. He said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a particular people, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You ought to show forth praises.
Amen.
Your life ought to show forth praises. You ought to bear fruit. You ought to bear fruit. If you are a growing Christian, you ought to bear fruit. How do we bear fruit? By telling folks about Jesus. Not because they don't come here. They don't have, oh, I'm bearing fruit. People come to church. No. Coming to church is a trick. A lot of people come to church going to hell. Okay? Getting somebody to come to church is not fruit. You're going to make disciples out of them. Look at Matthew 13:23. You're going to have to write it down. But he's talking about the sower, the seed. And he says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. He that understandeth the word. You can come to church and never understand the word I'm saying.
Amen.
It can go in one ear and out the other. I'm not going to go any further than that. But he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bear fruit and bringeth forth some what? 100-fold, some 60, some 30.
Amen.
Are you a fruit-bearing Christian?
Amen.
Are you a fruit-bearing Christian? How about separation? I've been on this one already. See, I'm not going to sit with no knuckleheads. I'm not hanging out with them neither.
Amen.
See, you can get in the same car with the same four people you sit with in church and go to prison, all four of you. Because one of them is a knucklehead. Separation. How's your life? Has there been any separation since you've been saved? And I'm not saying you just telling people, well, I'm a Christian now, I don't hang out with you. No, this stuff's the way you live. Paul, Jesus said it like this. Blessed are ye when man shall what? Hate you. And when they shall separate from you their company and reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Ain't no such thing as a popular Christian.
Amen.
They killed all the apostles. They killed 11 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they killed all the prophets. Jesus said you killed all the prophets. This ain't no popular stuff. You sit there and say, I'm a born again Christian, and you're the most popular person on the job, most popular person in school. There's a problem. There's a problem. You're just not going to be popular. And we had a woman up here last week, y'all. Amen. Listen, not only is there, you ought to be a fruit bearer, you ought to show praises, but there ought to be a determination in your life. A determination to live godly. You just not going to live godly haphazardly. You have to have a made up mind that I'm not going to use drugs. I'm not going to smoke cigarettes. I'm not going to gamble. I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to be a fornicator. You have to have a made up mind. You're just not going to just do that. Paul says this in Philippians 3:13. Brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Why, Paul? For I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
You got to have a determination. You have to be determined to live godly.
Uh-huh.
One more. You have to appreciate what God has done for you.
Amen.
Y'all hear me?
Amen.
You have to appreciate what God has done. This is what it says in 3 John 7. Because that for His name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. What John is saying is that they stood for God in a godless world. And they were determined to live for Christ. Not because of anything they wanted to do themselves, but because they appreciated the fact that He had saved them from the muck and the mire. The fact that they had been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light.
Amen.
Oh, you got to appreciate being saved. A lot of folks don't get the joy of salvation because they don't really appreciate being saved. The question is, do you appreciate being saved? Do you show forth praises? Are you known as a woman of God? Are you known as a man of God? Are you known as a child of God? Some of you young people in here, you've been baptized and you go to church and you usher, you take up the offering, you pray. But do your friends know you as a child of God? Or are you ashamed? Do they know you've been baptized? Do they know you go to church? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ.